Right at exactly 27 minutes to 7 o'clock, I want to say good evening. How are you doing today? Welcome to the show. This is The Legal Insider with me, Charles Kiarie, with an amazing gentleman who I talked to 2 weeks ago here, and I learned so much. I think I'll become a lawyer in my next life. He's an advocate, entrepreneur, a philanthropist, an adventurer, and a farmer. His name is Nick Ndeda. Nick Ndeda, come on. How are you, brother? How are you doing? How can you walk in here at 4 p.m.? What's wrong with you, Nick?
You have to factor in this Manda man.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I didn't want to disappoint the audience.
Yeah, so. But you just up the road, bro. I'm sure you just came walking slowly. Oh, my goodness. But nonetheless, how was your day, bro? And your week in general?
Oh, ridiculously busy.
Yes, I noticed.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And legally, how things going on at work and all that. I know there's a lot of work happening on your end.
We're happy to receive more.
Oh, amen.
At all times.
Amen, amen. Yeah. We never say no to work. Okay, right. I know last weekend we talked about a couple of things that got people really, really interested. By the way, if you're listening right now, before we start talking, okay, 0701984984, because what we want to talk about, a couple of things. Apart from Mandamano, which Nick, I want you and I to talk about at some point, all right? The stories about picketing and laws that have been enacted in other countries and parts of the world about picketing, as we discussed earlier on about what's happening in France and Israel, there's a code of conduct that has to be followed. Exactly.
Be, yeah.
I know you'll be talking about that one. But recently, something happened, and I want to quote our beloved president, by the way, who I'm really proud of about what he did today with the American Biashara, whatever. Very nice. And this is our president who criticized the LGBT ruling, yeah? Because today that's what I want us to talk. And he said, our culture and religion does not allow same-sex marriages. Now, of course, the justices, the two of them who refused about the LGBT issue, this is Ibrahim Mohammed and William Oko disagreed. The government cannot allow registration of an organization whose mission was furthering an quote-unquote illegality. But this LGBTQ issue has been embraced in so many countries all over the world. Now, all of a sudden, boom, here we are.
Okay.
And people are picketing. We need our rights.
Tell me. Ask your question.
All right. Yeah, just continue about this one. Other countries of the world, they're okay with it.
I would say this.
And then, and then you can come in. Because there was so much uproar and people saying, come on, Bana, Nini Bana, you know. And then the Attorney General came in and said, guys, this is not a matter of the corridors of justice, but of public consultation. The public has to be consulted on this issue. And it's not a complete overview about it.
I think I agree with that position.
Yes.
See, in these jurisdictions where this question has been ventilated fully and where now their laws have caught up to allow these kinds of associations to be registered and that kind of thing.
Right.
It came from organically, it grew through the people.
Oh.
It grew through the people until the voice of the people was so loud. Then the powers that be have to react to that, you see. And if you are keen about the uproar surrounding that Supreme Court decision, I don't want to go even into the law of it yet. The issue is who gets to decide what is legal, what is illegal.
Okay. All right.
From my understanding,
who decides? In spite of the fact that the Constitution has said it is not allowed.
Well, the Constitution hasn't said it's not allowed.
It has not said?
No. Actually, the law.
What does the law say, Nick?
The law that you need to look at if you're thinking about this LGBTQ question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Is Section 162 of the Penal Code, which criminalizes.
That's the word, criminalizes.
It creates an unnatural offense. It surrounds unnatural offenses. That is, if you have carnal knowledge of any person against the order of nature, you permit a male person to have one's carnal knowledge against the order of nature, commit acts of gross indecency between male persons, both in public and private, attempt to commit unnatural offenses. That's in the Penal Code. It's not in the Constitution.
Okay.
Yes. The constitutional angle was coming in because they were arguing that the decision by the council to not register these entities was discriminatory.
Okay.
They were saying It's discrimination on the basis of their sexual orientation.
Okay.
And this is, if you look at the Article 27(4) of the Constitution, mm-hmm. it provides that the state shall not discriminate directly or indirectly against any person on any ground, mm-hmm. including race, and this is where the issue is now, mm-hmm. sex, mm-hmm. pregnancy, marital status, health status, ethnic or social origin, color, age, disability, religion, conscience, belief, culture, dress, language, or birth.
Okay, wow.
The word sex is the issue here.
Yeah, does sexuality determine who you are?
No. Does the word sex in the Constitution include your sexual orientation, or does it not?
Wow. Okay, that's a good one.
Because
who decides at the same time?
If it does or if it doesn't, then determines if that section of the Penal Code mm-hmm. is unconstitutional or not.
Who decides?
Well, there's an act called the General Interpretation of Laws Act.
Come on, just open it up, man. Who decides? Yeah, who decides?
The High Court is the one.
Like in our culture sometimes, who decides who's going to eat which parts of the animal? Who sits in a corner and says, because your orientation is this, so
those parts of the chicken were allocated by ancestors.
Exactly.
we're just bound to that right now.
And you're bound to it.
Partake your evil?
No, but someone's had
gizzard,
to
drumstick.
Yes, exactly. But someone had to sit down and say, Nick Deda, you, because you're this orientation, you'll be eating feet. You, Charles, because of this, you'll be eating eyes. Who decides, by the way?
You know, when you say eating feet, in the context of this conversation.
Exactly. Let's still go there.
What fetish is this?
We're just having an open conversation. Anyway, because this has been very controversial to so many people. Yeah. Because I remember someone having an argument and saying, about registering all these whatever, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I can give you an example of some of them. The registration of, mm-hmm. depending on which... where you want to be. And they said the registration of gay and lesbian human rights organizations. Mm-hmm. But okay. And then gays and lesbian human rights commission. Why do you need a commission? Mm-hmm. Gay and lesbian human rights council. Mm-hmm. And then the gay and human rights collective. What is this?
Don't we have
all that in the Constitution? I mean, you're covered when it comes to rights organizations, rights mm-hmm. commissions, rights councils, and rights collective. Why do you need yours exclusively to have it yours, Pekeako?
I feel like that we'd need a different party in studio to answer
that question. Okay.
but that said, there is a legal right mm-hmm. to associate with persons with whom you want to associate. There's a KNCR, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It covers all Kenyans. Mm-hmm. Including these persons want to register their own entity, mm-hmm. it doesn't stop me from registering my own. The same way there's pension schemes like NSSF, but you can get your own private one.
Oh, okay.
So like a chairman, you can't stop someone from associating exactly. the person they want to associate, yeah. the groups they want to. Like saying there's like a one-party state now, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, very quickly, and there's a storm in the evangelical churches mm-hmm, circle, mm-hmm. and a certain bishop said the court decisions was contradictory. It went against cultural norms. Mm-hmm. What are cultural norms?
To my understanding, it's those instructions again from ancestors, from dead people. You know, but to be fair, it's just I think.
No,
just,
I'm not against them. By the way, I'm not against the LGBTQ. I mean, they can have their way. By the way, but it's just that why do you want to be exclusive to have all these commissions? What is it that you want to achieve?
The only way to find out is then to see how those commissions and those entities operate once registered. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what the constituting documents say. We mm-hmm. don't know what the objectives are. Mm-hmm. Those are things we are not privy to at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'd have to get a lot more information.
Okay. Let's talk about this, the points in the majority versus the minority decisions. Mm-hmm. Yes. Just review about that one.
You see, those decisions are so long, mm-hmm. but I think the crux of it revolved around the word including mm-hmm. in the Article 27(4) mm-hmm. because that opens it up to you can have other things against which you can't be discriminated. Mm-hmm. We just can't list all of them.
Of course.
So it opens up the window for interpretation. Mm-hmm. The word sex, mm-hmm. does it include sexual orientation mm-hmm. or not? Mm-hmm. The issue of should we go to a referendum or not on this one?
Yeah, that one... That one is interesting because, as I told
you... What do you think, Charles? From your perspective as a non-practicing advocate, what do you think?
We go for a referendum about sexuality.
Not just that.
This thing is about sexuality.
There'll be a number of things. It'll just be one of them. Would you want a referendum on this?
No.
Why not?
Because I've got my own. Because I'm not part of them. There are certain beliefs that I have. Mm-hmm. All right, and I follow them to the core.
But you see that.
So for me, referendum. Why do we have a referendum about sexuality? Well, we have other things that are happening in this country. Guys are dying of food and hunger. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. No referendum. Okay. That's just me. I'm not against it, but that's just me.
Well,
because here's the thing, Nick Data. Uh-huh. There's a generation that's coming up, mm-hmm. and they are watching. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are certain norms that we have to follow. If something really good happened between your mom and dad to get this man called Nick Data, mm-hmm. and I would like that to continue. Mm-hmm. With myself, mm-hmm. that's me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now you see the thing about this conversation is that it mixes so intricately morality, societal norms and cultures,
exactly,
expectations, individual rights like the right to your privacy,
What
you do in your bedroom,
yeah,
who you spend time with and how you spend that time.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to privacy versus this section of the law, mm-hmm. that purports to investigate, invigilate, and supervise what you do in your own private time.
Mm-hmm.
What are your rights, even as a not a member of that of the community?
Mm-hmm.
What are your rights vis-a-vis? Where do your rights stop? Where do theirs end? If they feel they want to amend the law mm-hmm. to be included specifically in this section of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
do they not have a right to a referendum?
They have a right, yeah.
Where you can
to
go
themselves.
And, no, it's for the country where you can go and vote no. Where you can go and vote no.
Oh my God.
Just think about
who
it.
Who will go?
Won't you go vote no?
No. That's just me. No.
So if everyone goes and votes, if only that community goes and they vote yes.
Okay. The court ruling. Okay. We'll get into that one also. The court ruling. Okay. But I'm just going through some of the stuff that they're saying, that despite gayism is illegal in Kenya, they have a right of association. I do agree with that one, okay, because those are rights. And they said LGBTQ is not a legal, if it's not a legal entity and can operate at will after registration.
Mm-hmm.
After registration. Refusal by the courts was discriminatory and contravened the law. That is when they refused just before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, it begs a question, Mr. Nick Ndeda, mm-hmm. right? Why now?
I'm very hesitant to answer that question.
No.
You know, this
why now? Why is it so important that it has to be now? Why is it the years before? Mm-hmm. No, we want to register. No. Okay, it goes away. Now, all of a sudden, it has come. Why now? What is it about this that it has to be very important? And it has to be registered and put into the Constitution.
No, it's not being put into the Constitution.
No, Constitution, yeah, but yeah, registered, yeah.
You have to remember, this is not a new issue. The denial from the NGO council to register them, the NGO board, was made in 2016, I think it was, back in the day, 2020. It was a while back.
I think it was about 2013.
Even worse, you see. Yeah. And then, I don't mean this idea.
It was 2013,
you
remember.
Really helped me make my point. You're a wonderful opposing counsel. So,
yeah, okay.
So it went to the High Court.
Mm-hmm.
Court of Appeal,
mm-hmm.
then Supreme Court. So it has been going through the system, and you know our systems are not the fastest, and because of the public interest,
mm-hmm.
there are so many amicus curiae and so many guys participating in that, so many guys supplying material and their opinion and assisting the court, so it takes a lot of time.
So that is information that they lacked in 2013, is that what you're trying to say?
No, they had the information, maybe not all of it,
mm-hmm.
made a finding. You're allowed to appeal twice.
Wow.
Okay, Africa Supreme Court.
Okay, right. 13 minutes to 7 o'clock. This is interesting. I'm here with Nick Ndeda. But Nick is just amazing. I like what you said earlier on, man. That's very, very interesting. He's here to tell us about the LGBTQ issues. Of course, the legal insider. I was legal insider right here at Capital FM about this issue of LGBTQ registration and all that. Listen, Nick and I were just talking, we're just having a conversation, okay? We have nothing against anyone about what you do, how you do, where you do. It's up to you. We're just talking about the legalities about it. Take a short break, we come back, and we continue with this conversation. Nick?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Capital, brother. Capital FM. Yeah, the Legal Insider continues right here with Nick Denda, just making me laugh off mic. Nick, you're crazy, but nonetheless. We're talking about the LGBTQ system, what happened, and they want to register their Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Organization, Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. I don't know what the commission is for, to fight for their, I don't know, Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Council, the Gay and Human Rights Collective. And
in fact, most of those things, those bodies, they're just there to monitor and agitate for rights. They're lobbying groups. They ventilate their specific issues to a particular community.
Specific issues, because we already have all these things. If you're talking about rights organizations, rights commissions and councils and collective, what's about the rights collective, bro?
I think we need to have someone else in studio. Because this is new to you, actually. Even beyond that,
yeah,
I don't think between the two of us we have an understanding exactly of why there's a need for these entities. We doubt we'll have someone who is a part of that process,
who can
trying
actually
to register and then can tell us exactly the reason we want these entities is this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they are justified.
You know,
to hear.
You know what I like about that, Nick, is that, you know, there's one thing we are taught in radio.
Mm.
When you don't know, you say you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That is truthful. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Mm. Very quickly, because this has been something of contention, especially when we looked at the games that were happening. Was it in Qatar? The football, whatever.
The World Cup.
Yeah. Yes, and mostly in the Middle East, they've got morality police,
mm-hmm,
who monitor people. As in, these guys believe in certain norms. You can't come with the LGBTQ issues.
You can't,
mm, right? Suppose in Kenya we had a situation, we have a morality police.
Mm.
How would it all go well with what is happening right now? I mean, it's non-existent.
I feel like in Kenya that would just be shooting ourselves in the foot.
Okay.
Do we have morals to police?
Yeah, because this issue I like watching, it's called Banged Up Abroad.
Mm-hmm.
You should check it out.
I've always had an issue with that name, but go on.
Yeah, but
I'm not focus.
Okay, the story is you end up in a country in Saudi Arabia, and then somebody invites you, let's say, for a drink. Mm. Then he places something in your pocket or something, and then the police come and ask you questions. They go through your pockets, and you're thrown in.
Mm-hmm. As a foreigner, even worse.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love watching this program because it opens my eyes, and I watch a certain program. The morality police, this guy went to work in an NGO in Saudi Arabia, and he met this man, but this man was part of the LGBTQ whatever, and then they started monitoring him because they knew what this guy did, and he was thrown in because of that.
Goodness.
Yeah,
but you know, the general principle is if you're in a foreign jurisdiction, you have to abide by their laws.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
you know, tricky.
Okay, now this question, is it now, Nick, in that situation where we have forced the NGO council to register what Mohammed Ibrahim Justices and William Ouko an illegality?
Well, I think I'm waiting to see.
What is an illegality? I'm
waiting to see if they'll actually register those bodies. I'm waiting to see if they'll actually do it to begin with. And then that's
interesting, because people think right now that they have been registered. But yes, you're confirming to us right now that they have not been registered.
I'm confirming to you that I have no knowledge of them being registered.
Oh, okay, yes. You've said that many times. This is new to us. That's new to us, you and I.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but that argument about the registering an illegality or an illegal entity comes from the interpretation of sections 162.3 to 164 of the Penal Code.
Mm-hmm.
The ones about unnatural acts.
Exactly.
You see?
Yeah.
So if you look at the Supreme Court decision, there's a way you can interpret it such that what the Supreme Court did, it expanded the meaning of Article 24.7, 27.4 of the Constitution on discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's 27.4. And elucidated and expanded our understanding of the provisions of the Penal Code.
Right.
To indicate.
With this issue.
To say the framers of the law could not have intended this, that, the other. Let these people, is refusing to register the entity is like declaring them guilty in advance. They haven't yet committed those acts that are illegal. They're just registering.
Use that word again.
They haven't yet committed any act that's illegal.
Yeah.
But just registering an entity. Is registration illegal?
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
What is illegal? It's the activity.
The activity.
The unnatural. Whatever the law defines as a natural act. You see?
Mm.
But I'm just coming here to register an NGO. What have I done?
Okay, in a situation like this, Mr. Nick Ndeda, but because of registrations and all that, there are things are called checks and balances. Because they're also monitored, even these other ones who are legal, not area, they're also monitored. Who will monitor them?
The same body that monitors all NGOs, the council. It'll just be an NGO like any other. If registered.
If registered, that's the one.
You had that pause?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Thank you so much for that. I've learned a lot. As you said earlier on, Nick Ndeda, I would need somebody who's cognizant of this matter and which he can tell us.
From a different perspective. Yeah, not ours, yeah.
Exactly. Now, 4 minutes to the top of the hour, and there's something that is happening in the country right now, Mr. Nick Ndeda, and it's called Maandamano. And the ongoing demonstrations about the rights, obligations, of entity planning demonstrations, the recourse of a person affected by demonstrations, like the businesses, the cars that were stoned today and all that. Because as we speak right now, as we were discussing earlier on, the way we watch countries like France and their demonstrations, which are on another level altogether, and what is happening in Israel, and just recently the demonstration that happened in South Africa.
And
you wonder, what is wrong with us, man? What is wrong with us? Because some of these countries have enacted laws, they've got regulations to govern public order, very strong, by the way, even for police and citizens about gatherings and protests. What do we need about our Maandamanos? Because it's affecting so many people, and the talk coming out of there is just toxic. Or is it noxic?
No, I'd say this. The law as currently structured, I've been on the show, I think, with Farid, and I told him, the laws of in this country are ridiculously good.
Oh.
The law goes,
you know, you say ridiculously good.
The law is just fine.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with protesting. There's nothing wrong with demonstrations. The law has provided for almost every contingency you can think of. Exist in the law, how to apply, who to apply to, what is required at the point of application, how much time they need, at least not 14 days prior, not more than 14 days prior, not less than 3 days before the event. You get your permit, you have to indicate the name and address of the organizer, proposed route of your procession,
things. That's the other thing I wanted to ask. The proposed route, which is not supposed to, for example, the businesses and the flow of traffic and all that. So you know on a certain road you're using, so everybody will be on this other side.
You also say date and time, and that's between 6 a.m. And 6 p.m. you're done. You have the
I think we have the same here.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that is the law here.
That is the law here.
That is the law here. What I've been describing so far, those are our laws. That's what I tell you. Our laws are just fine. Our laws are just fine.
Yeah.
I think what happens, the problem here is, it's not a legal one. It's a culture one.
Hold that thought. Let's get to the news very quickly.
Okay.
I just need to pull one or two things, but it's like, what?
It's like culture to longelea.
Yeah, like culture to longelea. My goodness. So, we need laws. We need laws how to govern these things. And just to remind the listener right now, something good is happening tomorrow. It's going to be happening at the Carnival Grounds. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. It's called Sold Out. And Nick, I'm inviting you. I hope you can come.
But I just said it's sold out.
Ah, come on. That's the name of the hotel.
Oh, that's
yeah,
the
sold
genre.
Out. DJ lineup of DJ Leo, DJ Adams, DJ Nju, DJ Forrest, and DJ Sheki. Grab your tickets on ticketsasa.com if they're not out already for only $1,500. Tune into the jam tomorrow afternoon because I'll be with the boys, Martin Kariuki and Solo. We'll be pronged somewhere. We'll be telling you those details shortly. And then, of course, it's all about Randware, and Easter is here. Book your next flight between now and 30th of April and save up to 30% of the fares across our network. Come fly with us and experience the hospitality that will make your journey as memorable as your destinations. Bookings, please call +254 200 222 0918, email sales.nairobi@randair.com, or contact your preferred travel agent. Terms and conditions apply. Randair, fly the dream of Africa. What time is it right now? It's exactly I guess, 7 o'clock, and we're getting in with the legal insider telling us more about what we need to know about these mandamanos. I just need to read something here very quickly, Nick.
No problem, sir.
And it's about 2007. Just mandamanos. 2007 was really horrible.
That was bad.
That was the height of everything else. And in 2007, there's so many reports that came out about the heroic action of the police, because it's not only mandamano, it's also on this other side. And then the certain organizations responded in relation to the management of protests, and in many cases, they said it was grossly unjustified use of force. Mm-hmm. And I write down something here, like what we're seeing today. There's one side which is ready to shoot, mm-hmm. and the other side is ready to loot.
Mm-hmm.
Apo katikati.
Mm-hmm.
In between there, mm-hmm. what happens? Because of what I'm watching in Israel, I'm like, this thing is over and it's okay.
I think
it's a question of brutality. And
we need to separate.
I can understand on one level, because mm-hmm. a police is a human being and he walks in to tell you go home and you hit him with a stone.
Mm-hmm. So you can turn up the cheek, be the bigger man.
Yeah,
you're in a position of responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, because the police are bound by the police force standing orders.
Okay, that's true.
That's another story altogether. Rules and regulations.
Okay,
that's
standing
orders.
Okay, which is
it governs a lot. It's like an internal policy document. How to interact with the public, internal things, corruption, bribery, blahs. Even identification parades, how to conduct them, they're all in there.
I didn't know that. That's what they're taught in Kiganjo.
Well, it's gender Kiganjo.
While I've interacted
with the graduates,
okay.
I can't say I know what goes on in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to separate 207 from what's happening now. This is a demonstration.
There's also 2017.
2007, that was post-election violence.
That was violence.
That was citizen on citizen, discipline force on discipline force. It was bad. You know, to my mind, that is not demonstrations.
Yeah,
that was. I don't know what that was.
Nobody knows, by the way.
I don't know what
because it came and went. We were like,
I remember at some point I was in Mombasa and I chewed a lot of tear gas.
Oh, at the time.
And then I was in a job, so you can't shook her. And it's boiling hot. Oh, I was young, I was poor.
Okay.
In a job, it's boiling hot.
It's boiling hot.
I was in shook her, unakula tear gas, you're sweating. And I don't know people protest in Kisumu and Mombasa in that heat.
Yeah, but anyway.
So that's a whole other thing.
Absolutely.
What's happening now? What's supposed to be happening now, on paper at least, and in some areas?
Right.
These people enjoying their rights under Article 37 of the Constitution, the right to peaceably and armed to assemble, demonstrate, pick and present petitions to public authorities. Those are rights we enjoy under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So those are people enjoying those rights. That's what's happening now. When people, when you say ready to shoot,
or ready to loot, yeah,
I don't think there's that kind of divide. I think there are people who are honestly just demonstrating.
I don't know how it pops in out of my head, because what I was watching today.
No, it really rhymes. I see how it works.
Because one side wants to shoot, the other side wants to loot.
But the thing I'm saying is, I don't think one side wants to shoot, and I don't think the other side wants to loot. I think the other side wants to walk through town unmolested. And the other side wants to ensure that they're walking in a structured fashion where they're supposed to be walking and nothing is going wrong. When these two opposing views, which can be very easily aligned in my view, meet or clash, then we have a problem. And then the opportunistic fellows in that fracas, now those are the ones who are going to loot. You know?
Wow.
Anyway, these are rights that now it behooves the
because it says the bottom line: in a democracy, police expected to manage public protests in a manner consistent with the rule of law, consistent with the right. Fine, I like what you said. Okay,
yeah,
that is your route. You guys follow that route.
Mm.
Do this. Go to a certain place.
Gather. Present your petition,
and leave. But that's not always the case, because what I saw in France, I saw some order in South Africa and Israel. What is it about us? Do we need laws? That's what I'm asking. Tough laws.
No, we already have laws. I think I need to take you back to 1789-ish, 99 during the French Revolution.
Let's go.
they beheaded their king.
Yes, I know. Mm. When the lady said, let them eat cake. Yeah.
What are they crying for?
Yeah.
Bread, they can have cake, yeah.
Yeah.
So you see, these are civilizations that have been in place for hundreds of years.
I agree.
These are democracies that have gone through these ups, downs, turbulences, yeah. Everything. Mm-hmm. The US is overturned, although they were colonized by the UK, who I think colonized Japan at some point. How old is the UK as a civilization, a democracy? How old is France?
These guys have been around, man.
We're yet to even have a revolution.
Yet.
If we were to follow the exact path, mm-hmm. From Europe, we've been colonized. Where's our revolution? Okay. If you think about it in those terms.
Okay.
So we'll get there. The lucky thing is we can borrow a lot from these jurisdictions, mm-hmm. which is why our laws are so robust.
Mm-hmm.
Our processes are so well known. It's an execution issue and a political one.
Okay.
If I know my opponent is going to have a peaceful demonstration, I infiltrate it with my goons. And then now the looting comes in, and then the shooting, tear gas, blah, fracas. Then I can, hands off, arm's length, say it is the other party doing it.
But in our case, as indeed, like, just to digress a bit, it's like when you're having our elections,
mm-hmm.
and you're watching one station saying so-and-so is here,
mm-hmm.
and the other station is saying so-and-so is here, and mm-hmm. the third one is saying the other person mm-hmm. is here.
No, ours are usually just two people. But go on. I'm here to see a three-horse race.
And of course, because of what is happening,
mm-hmm.
In 2017 presidential election, police also criticized of excessive force countrywide. Mm-hmm. Who decides this? In relation to what I said, ready to shoot, ready to loot. You saw what happened in Kisumu.
Okay, who decides which part of that statement?
Exactly.
Like, when you say excessive force, is that the thing that you're asking to define?
No. That's what people
Because say. Those things are subjective.
They're subjective, okay.
Yeah, if you come at me with a rungu,
mm-hmm.
I won't subdue you the same way I'd subdue someone who came at me trying to slap me. The force I need to use to subdue someone who's sharpening his panga is different.
Absolutely.
You know. But yes, there are instances of excessive force.
Mm-hmm.
There's a criteria, there's a reasonable standard
mm-hmm.
where you can match the force with the threat.
Absolutely.
And they have
that's what I agree.
Yeah,
that's
so it's tellable. So yeah, there were some instances of excessive force.
Wow.
Which is also illegal again.
Right.
That's why now their power things come in, because they're there to oversee the police actions.
Are they doing anything about what's happening right now?
Are people
coming up and just saying, this is what's happening, this is what happened to me, this is what happened to my neighbor, or whatever? Because these guys have been mandated investigating serious use of police, using force as well as death by the police.
Yes, but you see, they also have to investigate. So even if you go report today, I'm not going
have
to react today.
Have you heard of a case where they investigated, and how long did it take? Because justice denied is justice.
Justice delayed.
Delayed.
It's justice denied.
Denied. Oh, practical man. Analogy.
I feel stymied. I don't know. I can't think of one. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Exactly. Yes, I like that one. Yeah. So, and I was reading somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to quote unquote, and I said this one, I have to tell you, mm-hmm. is about questions of the legislation governing public gatherings and protests, their consistency with human rights norms, and how these laws are interpreted by the courts. Is it police culture and attitude, or the laws and the institutions, or both? Are they all important considerations in evaluating how public gatherings are viewed, especially in a country called Kenya?
I might have to repeat that.
In a nutshell, public gatherings mm-hmm. and their consistency, how can they be interpreted in terms of getting a law to tell people this is how it's supposed to be? As you said, ours is cultural.
No, it's no. How we execute,
the culture.
But
culture,
the law
exactly,
of
yes.
it is very clear.
But nothing seems to be happening, Nick.
No, on paper, things yeah. all happen. The notices are given.
But on ground,
this is a route, at this time to this time, all those things happen. Okay, if you have a ground, we check a riot police along that route. It's very intimidating. Shekele Loria Green is ready to collect people and ferry them urgently. There's a water truck there. You know, so people try to divert to get where they're supposed to go. You see?
Mm.
And that's where the issue starts now.
But in your view, these demonstrations, the mass demonstrations and all that, let's look at Kibra, for example.
Yeah.
If Monday is coming and the police say, okay, guys, we will not be seen around, but you guys go ahead and have your peaceful demonstrations.
There's a time.
Do you think that's viable,
chill,
bro?
There's a time. Baba will you away. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember.
There's a time kulikuwa na vita Nairobi, I think from 9 a.m. JKA trying to get to town.
Wow.
Up to almost 6 p.m. There's so many iconic images.
Yeah.
That guy like grabbing the tear gas canister, the whole thing. There's so many iconic images. The Kenyan flag was somewhere. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then there's one day, the cops just didn't show. Guys were so bored. They walked to Uhuru Park and chilled a bit, Chomoka. I remember when the...
Oh, yeah, come on with me.
Oh, Kumbuki.
What do you mean? Cops have to turn up. Then the excitement comes in. And so cops didn't turn up.
It wasn't even juicy. the people's president swearing in.
Yes.
I went there just to see and to take pictures.
There were no cops.
I was really into photography that time. So I went my camera long lens. There are no cops. I drove to Uhuru Pakapo Ministry, or I think it's Water or Health or something.
Right.
Or Afyan Kapakukoju. Walked into Uhuru Park. Raila came, took pictures, swearing in, all those things. Water come ja.
I saw that on TV.
And no one touched my camera, no one touched my phone, no one touched my car. I drove back home.
There were no cops?
No cops. Zero. Guys came from everywhere. And if you're going to say, just walking to town, no issue. There was an actual swearing in of a people's president. Well, there's a sitting elected president. But there were no cops and there was no violence, there was no looting, there was nothing. Guys went home. What does that tell you?
Wow, you said something really profound. The cops are the ones who actually excite the crowds to go into anarchy, for lack of a better word.
I'm not saying that.
We're not saying.
Our police force.
Yes, we love them.
Our police service.
We have friends in the police force.
Service, yes.
Yeah,
not force anymore. Service. Mm. Yeah, so I'm not saying they're the problem.
Mm.
I'm saying it is up, if that interaction between the police service and the Wakwandamana doesn't go well, then you get your looting and your tear gas and everything.
But
you said it, even in during the post-election violence period, there are some police officers who are getting praised by how they're handling the situations outside Nairobi. So it's doable. When they interact well, you have very peaceful demonstrations. When it's a bit volatile, or the people sent to infiltrate the demonstrators and cause some fracas,
you think that
then
would be
you
the
get
case?
That. That is always the case. It's Kenya.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Listen, let's take a short break. Nick Ndeda, I'm learning so much from you. And we come back, I'll be asking you about, just open it up a bit about the Independent Police Oversight Authority, that's IPOA, and how they're looking into this thing. All right, if you just tuned in, I'm having a great time. I don't know about you. Okay, you can write to us 0701984984. What do you think about the issue we discussed earlier about the LGBT? And now we're talking about Mandamano. It's because someone was calling it Mandama Piano Mondays. And I don't know what they'll coin something for Thursday. Because of that song, Jeshila Baba. You're like, okay, it's my piano.
I can't.
Yeah, okay, let's not go there. Let's take a break and then we'll talk about it. All right, welcome back. You've just tuned in. You've tuned into the Legal Advisor. With me, of course, is Nick Ndeda. The Legal Insider. Yeah, he's our Legal Insider. Nick Ndeda, a brilliant mind who's joined us. And he's an advocate, entrepreneur, philanthropist, adventurer. I don't know. You have to tell us about your adventures. And of course, you're a farmer. You have an IQ of 250. What are you farming? Okay, and I've just tuned in. We just talked about the LGBTQ issue and... you're not picking any sides. We'll see how it goes, if they will be registered and all that. And now we're talking about Mandama Piano Mondays. I don't know what they'll coin for Thursdays.
Kenyans never disappoint.
They never, by the way. Yeah. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And we're talking about...
IPOA,
what we're seeing. And of course, IPOA created with the mandate of investigating serious use of police using forces and the deaths of caused by the police and all that. What have you looked into them properly? Because I hear it's a very professional body who know exactly what they're doing. As they're very good.
No, they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
In a country where, I think this applies across the world, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're supposed to oversee an entity which is traditionally known to close ranks to protect one of their own, you know, yours have an uphill challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to investigate a police officer who is the one who traditionally does investigations, you can see the challenge there. You're an expert, and you know the IPOA is designed to be civilian led. you know. It's civilians, overseeing the police.
Oh, come on.
That's the idea behind it, is to have civilians. Come on. Basically an outsider.
Okay.
Yes.
Civilians oversighting the police.
Yes. That's the idea. So if there's any serious allegations, misconduct, death, that kind of thing, IPOA comes into play. If it's something else, they're investigated internally by the police.
Wow. Wow.
IPOA is doing a good job. I love it. And if you want to make a complaint to IPOA, all you have to do is
walk into
their phone numbers, they have offices, send an email to the they have an email, complaints@ipoa.go.ke. Mm-hmm. Write a letter to them. No problem. Visit the ombudsman office. Mm-hmm. You can even go to the police and make a report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. As I asked you earlier on about these countries who have enacted laws and regulations that seek to govern first the public order and also for police and citizens and gatherings and all that. Mm-hmm. What do we need in this country? Because what we are seeing is just, you watch it and you feel, where are we heading to? Seriously, because are we heading to something else that, are we looking to the abyss and the abyss seriously is looking back at us?
Well, the abyss does that every time. Every time,
exactly.
But I think, I don't know. From a legal perspective, I don't know. There's much else we can do.
No, just throw something. What would you do? Monday is coming. Would you tell the cops, don't go to Kibera, don't go to Madari, don't go to wherever, Kisumu, Mukai, Nyumbani, or just Chomoka? The cops will come to the roads.
Yeah, I'd say information. As always, that's why we do the Legal Insider. That's why I was doing Kikonokili.
Mm-hmm.
Information too.
Okay.
If you're organizing a demonstration, we're walking to the CBD to present a petition to Parliament, mm-hmm. no problem. We've had those at LSK. We've mm-hmm. done them.
Yes.
They usually tell us we'll meet at Milimani Law Courts and then proceed through, say, Valley Road, mm-hmm. going down to Kenyatta Avenue, and then we go to the Supreme Court and present our petition. Then advocates come and follow that route and go to the Supreme Court and then disperse. So we need to start communicating these routes. Where the demonstrations are supposed to be.
I like that. I want you to say that.
And then we need then police to also communicate that, yes, we've received this, we've authorized it, we'll have a presence there, but only to protect you and ensure you're obeying the law. So people know, even the police officers you're seeing on the road are not there to attack you.
Yeah.
Tuliwasha ambiata jana. Come in through. Along Tomboya, Mnafuata, Kenyatta Avenue, Jogorod One Lane, and so on. We'll be there to ensure all is well. So when you see us, don't panic.
And don't throw stones.
Yeah, you're along the route. You're supposed to be there. We gave you, you're given the permission to be there. Peter too. Just come. So go pay usirushe mawe, you won't be aghast. Don't hesitate. Walk with confidence. Peter, when you aste. You know,
yeah,
Peter. You know.
I like
I think it's just a communication thing for now.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else because the law is very well structured around this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what a lot of people I'm hearing say, even here in the office, there's a lot I can't say because
in media,
we can't do that. We're not allowed. That you wake up in the morning and it's very peaceful. Even in town, it's very peaceful. Throughout the day, it's very peaceful until the leader appears somewhere, and then everything just goes back because nobody communicated. They just appear, and then people just appear. And it doesn't augur well for me, by the way.
From observation over the years, it doesn't matter where Raila appears. The excitement is always palpable. I don't know how to explain it. I remember in 2007 or something, 2012, I don't know, I can't remember, maybe 2012, maybe, 2013, that area, 13 I think it was. Raila was addressing a rally at Uhuru Park. This chap just, I come na Black Mamba, akombele, alibe by bike hivi.
Wow, and that bike is not actually very...
No, he held that thing back and Raila stopped speaking.
Oh my goodness.
Because it was painted in those ODM colors. At least cut with your bike.
But it was peaceful.
For 40 minutes.
Wow.
It was a political rally.
Yeah.
That's a kind of fever he inspires. So when people are that excited, the cops know the route, and this is the wrong route.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell you ingeni pande ingine.
Yeah.
No one communicated to us that this is the wrong route. So why are you stopping us from petering here?
Yeah.
Issue.
I agree. You know? So we have to enact laws and regulations.
We need to communicate.
Yeah, but also enact them. What is communication?
The law is there.
It's there, but nobody's following it, Nick. All right. I can see my time is
in. That's why I'm back in to ping.
There's also an issue, but then that came up the other day, and there was a lot of hullabaloo, and people made a lot of noise.
Oh, Lord, I know this one. Even before you say it.
Okay.
Is this CAS?
CAS. Well, guys made so much noise. I saw huge commentaries in the newspapers to a point after you read 40 letters, you're like, boss, I need Nick Ndenda here to open this up for me. Huge columns, and you're like, what's wrong, guys? No, you can't. It's unconstitutional. It's not. What's going on, Nick?
Here's the argument on this CAS issue. Mm-hmm. Yes? See, PSs, permanent secretaries, are hired under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
Yes.
So that's a direct injection.
Inner pressure. The CASs were created by the president pursuant to Article 132.4A of the Constitution of Kenya, which allows him to do this kind of thing. That article allows him to establish an office in the public service in according to the PSC recommendations. So in Article 234 and Section 27 of the PSC Act, it's very technical, Paul.
Keep going.
He can establish and abolish offices in public service and appoint persons to hold or act in those offices. So he has the power to do that.
Right.
So these CASs are being appointed under the Public Service Act.
Which is already there.
Yes, which is exists. Exactly. It's a law. He's empowered under the Constitution, as read the Public Service Act, to do these things. All he has to do is communicate to the Public Service Commission that it is the decision to create these offices is informed by the public body's workload, financial implications of creating the office, that the office supports core functions of the public body, the office is to be domiciled in the requesting body. So it's within that parastatal. It's sort of an independent entity. Yes, evidence of optimum utilization of existing posts and the functions of the office are consistent to the Constitution and law. So once that happens, the PSC takes over, does the interviews, advertises for the positions, guys apply, interviews, all those things.
Which actually was not going to happen.
No. All those things happened. Malili Aribikia is when now the shortlist went to Parliament for vetting.
Yes, I'm talking about the vetting issue.
Yes. There's interviews and there's vetting. So at vetting, why am I vetting them? Show me where it says Parliament vets.
That is where the problem. That is where the noise started.
Now, challenge is this: if you read the decision in the case Okiya Omtatah, one of Kenya's unsung heroes,
great guy, great friend.
That guy will school you in court.
Uh-huh.
If you're not prepared with all your years of practice,
can you get him one of these fine days? We sit down with him, Nick. I'll talk to my boss.
I'll sit up on the corner and also learn. It's like I'm in a textbook.
We'll be with you on one side.
Notebook, textbook, constitution, things.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, so that whole thing was done. When Omtatah had sued the PSC. Yes? And the court ruled what I've explained now.
Exactly.
Constitution, PSC Act, all those things. And the court was of the view that the procedure in Section 47 of the PSC Act for recommending persons to be nominated for the president applicable to PSs apply mutatis mutandis to the CSs.
Mutatis?
Mutandis. Means like copy-paste. Exactly.
In that
if
lingua.
If they are vetted, vet. If they advertise. If you realize that, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So now you see that's the thinking behind. If PSs are vetted by Parliament, then CSs should also be vetted. By Parliament.
In between there, that's where the noise started. Mm. And interestingly,
remember, there's a decision from the High Court which says these guys should not take up office and be sworn in and all those things.
That's what I said, the commentaries that I was seeing. I got confused. I was like, this was a saying. They said, let me talk to Nick.
In a forum which I won't disclose, a person whom I won't name told us that the swearing of the CSS that early was deliberate.
Okay.
I'll not comment.
I also don't ask you to comment about that. Right? The question that also came up, as I see my time is in a yoma, is how many CSs were actually taken. So you saw Eric Omondi running taking CVs to State House. It's like, no, why are you putting these guys? I'm bringing my own CVs because I've got my own people who need to start working.
I do my level best to not factor those acts in when I'm doing my research.
Okay.
But yeah, the 50 were sworn in.
Yeah.
As opposed to the previous 23.
Yeah.
And which is also a big issue. Umesema watu nakufa njaa kuna unga na mahindi.
That's a thing.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Let me look at the time. 28 minutes past 7 o'clock. I've learned so much today. So much.
Uliza tu swali na kusumbua.
Okay, you actually said it. Okay, let me see. Yeah, because you said it. And one of the things that people are saying about the CSC's appointment and all that, and we're going through this crazy, crazy situation of Unga being 200 and something shillings. Remuneration, let's talk about that one. If you have any information, because that was a bone of contention to so many
people. I'm not going to touch that. The SRC handles that. They're fully mandated by law to do it.
But will they tell us how much these guys are earning?
Ah, it's public information. Just Google it. All salaries in Kenya are public information. You can even check your president's salary.
Okay.
Yeah. And then all the job groups in every parastatal, in every ministry, it's all published. Yes.
So what about this, the question of bloating that whole institution? The too many CAs. What do you need CAs? You've got all these other people. Someone is arguing, saying, no, these guys are the ones who go out and bring business to the country.
If you look into it, Kenya is the most overrepresented, one of the most overrepresented nations in the world.
Oh, explicate on that one. We're all over.
Okay. Let me try to give it in a very rudimentary way.
Please.
How many citizens in the U.S.? Say 300 million, 350?
350 million.
Yeah. How many states?
52.
A state is basically the size of a country.
It is, yeah.
It's run by a governor.
Yeah, who's like the president also.
Yes. And then how many people under him?
Good question.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at a state government versus Kenya's government, we are tens and tens over.
Wow.
But we are governing a smaller number of people here.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're extremely, extremely overrepresented. And even with that extreme overrepresentation, your leaders never come back to you to ask for your opinion. So what was the point? MCA Kongeleshi. This guy is here anashikisha jabo ukimuona. Up the next day, ashapiga kura. Suala nimepita hapa, stage ko huko. What the hell? Bro, I was with you just jana.
You see la kula jaba.
Kesho tunapiga kura. You know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so this overrepresentation with no benefit to the people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick Ndenda, we've run out of time. I can see two lovely ladies in studio. Wanjira Long Hour coming in and Angela Wamboi with the news. It's like 7:30 right now. Very quickly, Kenya rugby would not be where it is without the work of Benjamin Ayimba. His legacy leaves all the beautiful game we all love. This is a love game, love rugby. Fans will be taking at Kenyatta Stadium, Machakos, the inaugural Benjamin Ayimba Rugby Legacy Tournament gets underway. So get down with your crew to Machakos from 7th to 9th of April. Celebrate Ayimba's legacy as you have fun and enjoy some great rugby. Tickets go for only 1,000 for regular tickets and 2,500 for business class. Get yours today on tikiti.co.ke. I hope I will see you next Thursday, sir. On the eve of Easter. Don't go to Kisumdala.
On Maandamano.
Maandamapiano.
I'll be here.
Okay, excellent. Nick, thank you so much. That was very good. I know next time we'll have another interesting topic of the sorts like today.
I'll do my best.
I know. We've learned so much about the LGBTQ and what happens to them. Amanda Mapiano, we've learned so much. And the CAs. I've had a good time right now. Angela Wamboi is here with the news at exactly 7 o'clock. It continues. Good evening. The best mix of music. Capital FM.